Let's to start, I'm just very curious what your initial reaction was when the news came out. I know that since my time being here in Manhattan, I have not met very many people who were very favorable towards keeping the food tax or the grocery tax in place. And I was curious when you heard Governor Kelly make this release, as well as Derek Schmidt on Friday, what your thoughts were?
Well, Nick, my first thoughts when I heard the announcement Monday were, thank goodness Governor Kelly has stood up and said, this is something good for all Kansans. This is just a great day. And our Riley County and City of Manhattan Food and Farm Council have actually been involved in advocating for this sort of thing for probably since our inception 3.5 years ago. There was a campaign where several communities actually collected grocery receipts that people signed off on, and we packaged those and sent them to legislators at the state capitol in Topeka. So this is not brand new, but finally, instead of it getting where bills would get somewhere and die in committee, our governor has said, you know, both parties, Republicans and Democrats, it's time to come together, cross those party lines, and bring me something. We want to get rid of the sales tax on groceries at the state level.
And it's pretty substantial, at least in the estimates, $500 a year for an average family of four savings-wise on a grocery bill. And that can be substantial for someone who's, you know, struggling to get by or struggling to acquire food. When you're looking at the situation in Manhattan and Riley County as a whole, how much can those savings really help them out, especially if they're in dire circumstances?
It's really a lot. And I think the $500 is probably on the low side. There have been estimates for a family of four that it may be as much as approximately $1,500 a year. That has a lot to do with grocery prices and choices that people make, of course, when they're doing their purchasing. But either way, it's good for the local economy. It's a stimulus because that's more available dollars. Whether a family spends that on purchasing more groceries that they need, more nutritious foods, whether, let's say, I take it or you take it or somebody says, okay, this is an extra I didn't have and I'm going to give back. So I'm going to end up donating that to local charities or those that are helping those in need. So there are lots of good ways to be able to put those dollars back into our community. And certainly for those people that this is a real challenge financially to make decisions about, do I get my child new shoes or do I purchase some groceries? Whether it's $500 or up to $1,500, that's significant in how it's going to be able to help families. I'd like to share with you the food insecurity statistics that we have here, because I think that also points out why this is beneficial to our community. And you're going to see this kind of thing across the state. COVID didn't just happen here, of course, in Riley County. But prior to COVID, so pre-COVID, our Riley County food insecurity rate was 13.5%. And this is according to Feeding America, which is a quality source that we use for that. Their 2021 projection for food insecurity in Riley County says that it will end up at 14.5%. So that's pre-COVID, 13.5%. And this year, by the end of this year, when they average that out, 14.8%. If you look then at their statistics for child food insecurity, the bump is from 16.4% to 18.3%. As an advisor of our Food and Farm Council, I think that's unacceptable. That is, there's no equity to that, no justice to that. So this getting rid of the state sales tax on groceries when food is a necessity and shouldn't be a privilege is certainly something that our council is very excited and on board with helping to support.
And I'm glad you got into that. That was exactly where I was about to go, too. Having been looking into some of these studies, specifically into Northview over the last few months, there's a lot of areas in Manhattan and around Riley County that are perhaps a little bit higher on those rates as well, too. And looking specifically at the current rate, 6.5%, it's the second highest rate on groceries in the country. And what sort of does that tell you in a way when you see a rate that high on groceries? What does it tell you about priorities in terms of addressing food insecurity?
Well, I think it's been one of those things that may have gotten caught up in politics, frankly. and it got pushed to the bottom of priorities, which is kind of disappointing. That's why I think it's time, and where Governor Kelly is saying, we're going to axe the tax. So she's saying we have to be fiscally responsible. We have the funds. We can do this. Our state is doing well, and it's in good shape. The economy is. People are coming back doing things. And now it's time to do something for families. And the responsible thing to do is to axe the tax and stand together as Kansans so that we can be proud about that. You know, one of the things that's happening, and it's happening at all the borders. I don't think of us as a border state, but if you pay 6.5% state sales tax in this state and you can hop across the border where there's no state sales tax, or it's a very minimal amount, like maybe 1% or whatever, people are driving across state lines. So they're going to Oklahoma, Colorado, Nebraska, and Kansas to buy their groceries. And when you buy groceries, you're probably doing other things while you're there too. So this is one way to bring money back into our economy. And so it goes way beyond just groceries.
So does the food insecurity issue as well, branching off of that too, as we talk about the extended impacts of what can happen when you're in an extended food insecure situation. You know, there's all sorts of other aspects associated with food insecurity that can be exacerbated by having less funds around to work with.
Yes. And, you know, the pandemic didn't do us any favors there. Feeding America also has the figure, and this is countrywide. It's not just in our state, but across the country, they're estimating that 40% more people are seeking food relief than before COVID. 40% more. Now, when we look at some of the programs that we put in place here, such as an increase with number of pantries, increase in number of harvester mobile distributions of food, free meal programs, and the blessing boxes, I think that statistic is probably pretty parallel here in Manhattan and Riley County. So people that didn't have to seek additional support for food for their families are having to because of either job loss, you know, illness, or ongoing situations related to bills and lack of ability to pay all of those on a daily basis. And then, you know, this goes beyond just talking about hunger. Hunger is a problem that's way beyond food. It really goes into talking about living wages. What's our cost of living, cost of childcare, healthcare, housing? It is such a big thing. So the state sales tax on grocery elimination is one step in the right direction of getting to where we need to support people that are truly challenged and in poverty. So it's one thing, and we don't want to stop here. So all of us want to be on board with this, but we want to keep working locally and at a state level to continue to find some other equity so that we're not really having a big gap between wealth, health, and food insecurity and poverty.
As you talk about some of the increases in local rates of food insecurity and then how various organizations have worked to address those needs, what do you imagine some of the impacts might be of removing the grocery tax on some of these services? I imagine there might be some less need for it, but maybe that's a positive in a way.
You know, I would like to have the vision that this one help would lessen the need. I honestly think we're so jammed and backlogged with people that are truly challenged that haven't had time to get back to work, save dollars, get on top of things. I don't know, honestly, if we're going to see a big reduction in any of those programs for quite some time. I mean, we're not out of the woods yet. We're still having challenges with COVID numbers and challenges with, you know, people with financial issues. So I think it's going to help emotionally as much as anything for a family to feel like that they're going to have a little bit more to do something with. So whether it reduces their burden a little bit in making a purchase for their family, maybe it's even being able to do something special they didn't think they could. And now maybe they can do a little bit of something. It can be anything from that all the way up to possibly, hopefully, affording a little more nutritious foods, fruits and vegetables, some fresh ones. And for many of us in the community, again, maybe it's a little more cushion of dollars that we can put back into the economy, supporting those programs or other agencies and organizations. So I don't see this as an end all. I think we have to think about that. It's just going to give a little cushion and hopefully a ray of hope that people are listening and trying to turn things around, kind of make a paradigm shift, to do things a little differently to support our families and households in need.
Focusing in a little on the children's statistics, up to 18.3% you mentioned, a natural reaction of food insecurity is it has a negative impact on your education. It has a negative impact on your ability to be attentive in classrooms. And we're talking about extended benefits of provoking this grocery tax. What do you imagine you might see in some ways in terms of education? I imagine there's be possible benefits there as well.
Well, I think one of the best things that the government stepped up and did was to add additional SNAP benefits and also to make the child nutrition program free to all students during the pandemic. And they have continued that. There's a real push for that to be universal forever, that we don't go back. So that has also balanced things so that children have an opportunity to have more nutritious foods and more meals that the families are not having to pay for, and breakfast after school programs, as well as the lunch program, some backpack programs in some places. So again, I think with the child hunger, what this does, it just gives us another level of cushion. So it isn't like, oh yes, we're going to just continue to depend on the school meal program, which is wonderful. And Stephanie Smith and her crew just did a phenomenal job here of stepping in and getting sites all across our community when things got shut down so families could get food for their families. Just a phenomenal, I think, really set the bar high for our state with that type of performance that happened there. So I think this just adds one more way. So we have the school meal program. We have some communal meals. We have SNAP. We have WIC. And now removing state sales tax on groceries is one more way, again, to just elevate the opportunity for these children to be able to be fed and ready to learn. We all know what it's like when you just don't get time for breakfast or you don't eat enough lunch. You're too tired. You just don't get there. And you can't perform at your very best. So a lot of times kids can't really explain that. They're not quite sure why they're lethargic or why they're irritable or dozing off. They don't really know. And it's related to hydration and nutrition.
We talked a little bit also about possible economic benefits and numerous aspects of that. And something that comes to mind as I think about that is there's a lot of restaurants out there struggling amid the pandemic and lingering effects of the pandemic too. And I wonder how much a reduction in grocery tax might also allow them to save some on their bottom line as well.
You know, until the bill is out and we really see what it is and what passes, I don't know what it's going to include and what it's not. Right now, one of the things that's set in it is a plan to also have this tax exemption at farmers markets. So I got really excited about that because that would be so beneficial to local producers. And then it also might mean that it will be easier for our local restaurants to purchase more local food affordably if they don't have the state sales tax. So I'm hoping that if this puts a little more money in our pockets, people might be able to do a little more supporting our local restaurants, eating out a little bit or getting a little carry out, taking advantage of those specials that some of the restaurants do on certain nights of the week. But it also may mean that it's going to help not just at the grocery store, but at the farmer's market. And that could be you or I purchasing, but also maybe some of our restaurants and food institutions too. So I hope that ends up in there. That's the plan, but you know how those things go. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Governor Kelly will stay firm with that and have that tax exemption at farmers markets too.
And Vicki, we're short on time, so I wanted to give you the final word on your thoughts regarding eliminating the state sales tax on food.
I just think that this is an exciting day for Kansas. It's going to help keep Kansas money in Kansas. And it's going to help balance things a little bit for those that are challenged with making decisions financially. If you're an agency or an organization here locally and you want to write a letter of support, send an email to vickyjames8955@gmail.com. And I will give you the information how to get letters of support so that our state legislators know that we're on board with this and want to make a difference. We want to axe the food tax.
Thanks for the time, Vicki.
Thank you, Nick.